Okay, we're now up to the fourth chapter, Mishnah Aleph. Here we talk about the different methods that we have for getting a food ready to be eaten, and this is going to discuss how it affects the laws of tithes. Hakovesh, one who pickles, and Hasholek, one who cooks something, Hamolech, one who salts the produce, at that point is chayav to tithe it. Hamechabein, one who buries produce in the ground, Badama, is going to be potter from tithing it. Hametabel, one who dips the produce in the field, is going to be potter, exempt from tithing it. We're talking about dipping produce in salt or some other dip or vinegar before eating it. Meaning even though pickling or something like that would normally establish a tithing obligation, showing us that just dipping something would not be that powerful. Hapotzea zesim shiotza ben asraf, one who crushes olives to eject their bitterness, potter, is exempt from tithing them. Okay, that was a crushing olives would remove this type of liquidy substance in them that usually caused the bitter taste. Okay, that's getting an olive ready for consumption, but it doesn't signify that the end is here. Hasochet zeisim al basar, one who squeezes olives onto his skin, is exempt from tithing his potter, right? People used to ointment themselves with oil on their body, and here they would be exempt for tithing. Im sachav, if he squeezed the olives and collects the oil in his hands, he's chayav, because the collecting of the oil is the final stage. Hamekape letavshil potter, if you skim wine in a pot of cooked food, you're potter from tithing the wine. Like, you have to get out the impurities in the wine. Likdeira chayev, but if you skim the wine into an empty pot, you're going to be chayev, because that's the final stage. You're using the wine to cook in that pot for whatever dish you're making. Mibneshu kavor katan, you're obligated to tithe it because the pot's like a kavor katan, like a little cistern. Meaning all the skimming wine into a pot of cooked foods doesn't make the wine considered processed. But if you do it before putting in the food, the wine is considered processed. And an empty container is sort of a smaller version of a cistern. And just like a cistern causes it to be a process, so too with this. The second Mishnah. Okay. Fine. This Mishnah over here talks about another issue which rabbinically creates the obligation for produce to be tithed. And that's the Shabbos itself. For example, tinokus shetamnu te'inim l'shabbos, if children hid figs for Shabbos eating, v'shachu l'osrin, and they forgot to tithe it, lo yachlu l'motzei Shabbos ad shas, so the figs can't be eaten after Shabbos until they actually separate the tithes. Something without tithe separate can't be eaten. You can't separate the tithes on Shabbos because in all likelihood it's what we call misakein mana. You're finishing up its preparation, the final blow, and that's not going to be allowed. Kalkalasa Shabbos, regarding Shabbos basket, Beit Shammai says potter, and Beis Hillel, that's exempt, produce exempt from tithes, Beis Hillel says it's mechayiv, it's obligated in tithes. Rabbi Yehuda says, af halokit et akalkala lishloch lechaver, so too if one picks a basket of produce to send to their friend, lo yochel ad shiyat asher, they cannot eat from it until it's actually tithe. What's a Shabbos basket? It's a special basket that the commentaries tell us that were filled with fruit that one put aside exclusively for eating on Shabbos. Meaning, in contrast to what was there at the beginning of the Mishnah, it was loose, independent figs for Shabbos, but didn't put them in a basket. Putting fruit in a basket for Shabbos is much more chashiv than just having independent fruits, because putting it in a basket for Shabbos means I'm really done over here. Okay, that's the end of the Mishnah.